stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan.
This is VOA News via remote. I'm Marissa Melton. A surging tide of people, ranging from London retirees to former England soccer captain David Beckham, have lined up to file past Queen Elizabeth II's coffin as it lies in state at Parliament, so that many that authorities on Friday had to call a temporary halt to more people joining the miles-long queue. Late afternoon, a live tracker of the queue said it had reopened, but government warned the waiting time had climbed to more than 24 hours. King Charles III and his siblings will be standing vigil around the flag-draped coffin on Friday evening. The United Nations has voted to allow Ukraine's president to give a virtual speech to the world body during the UN General Assembly. AP correspondent Norman Hall has more.
The UN General Assembly voted to allow Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, to deliver a pre-recorded address to next week's gathering of world leaders. Zelensky is being given an exception to the rule requiring leaders to speak in person because of his need to deal with the war following Russia's invasion. The 193-member world body approved Zelensky's virtual address by a vote of 101-7 with 19 abstentions, including China. The seven countries voting no were Belarus, Cuba, Eritrea, Nicaragua, North Korea, Russia, and Syria. I'm Norman Hall.
Ukrainian authorities say they've found at least 10 torture centers in territory recaptured from Russia in the country's east. This follows the discovery of a mass grave containing about 450 bodies at a site near Izum. The Russians occupied the city and Kharkiv region until a Ukrainian counteroffensive pushed Russian troops from the region last weekend. The United Nations says it wants to send a team to investigate the site of the reported mass grave and determine the circumstances of the deaths. This is VOA News. The French news agency is reporting hundreds of Boko Haram jihadists have fled to forest enclave in northern Nigeria, escaping airstrikes by the military and floods from torrential rains to seek shelter on Niger's side of Lake Chad. Northeast Nigeria is facing a 13-year armed insurgency by jihadist groups that has killed more than 40,000 people and forced about 2 million from their homes. The violence has spilled into neighboring Niger, also into Chad and Cameroon, with the jihadists maintaining camps in the vast Lake Chad region, straddling the four countries. A Nigerian security source said Boko Haram militants have been leaving the Sambisa forest since last month because of sustained bombing of their hideouts. Nigeria has also recorded a more intensive rainy season, which usually runs from May through September. Flooding has hit almost every part of the country. Months into a water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi, questions are being raised about why people in the city have to boil their drinking water. AP's Ed Donahue has that story.
How did this happen? Residents, politicians, experts, and activists say systemic racism is the root cause of Jackson's water problems. Maisie Brown is a student at Jackson State University.
Nobody else has to have this fight, but nobody else is as black as us. And is it the socioeconomic level that the city is at?
Mayor Chakwe Lumumba says Jackson's population has declined since 1980, a decade after the city schools began integrating.
When it became a black-led city, you had white flight, right? With that population decline, revenue, you saw tax dollars leave.
The mayor says Jackson has been left out of the equation in terms of equity of resources. According to the Census Bureau, its population is more than 80% black, and the poverty level is more than 24%. I'm Ed Donahue.
Kyrgyzstan accused Tajikistan of fresh shelling late on Friday, despite a ceasefire deal reached by the two countries' presidents, as a deadly border conflict forced thousands of people to evacuate. The Kyrgyz president and his Tajik counterpart agreed to order a ceasefire and troop pullback in a meeting in Uzbekistan on Friday. This according to the Kyrgyz president's office. The former Soviet republics, both of which are Russia's allies, earlier accused each other of restarting fighting in a disputed area that has left at least three dead and dozens wounded. The ceasefire was set to take effect from 4 p.m. local time, according to Kyrgyz border guards in a statement issued Friday. Tajik authorities confirmed that agreement had been reached. And once again, our top story this hour, a tide of people ranging from across the financial spectrum in London are in line to pay their last respects to the Queen.